From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Donald Trump is set to authorize hefty tariffs on steel and aluminum imports, despite strong criticism from political allies and business executives. He's expected to levy 25% fees on steel and 10% on aluminum as early as Thursday. His spokesperson, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, however, said exceptions are possible.
That would be a case-by-case and country-by-country basis, but it would be determined whether or not there is a national security exemption.
The Washington Post said Mexico and Canada will likely be granted 30-day exemptions. The tariff threat has raised alarm bells about a global trade war. In Luxembourg, European Council President Donald Tusk counseled against tariffs.
Trade wars are bad and easy to lose. For this reason, I strongly believe that now is the time for politicians on both sides of the Atlantic to act responsibly.
Mr. Trump also tweeted he's asked China to cut $1 billion from its trade surplus with the U.S. Once again, White House spokesperson Sanders.
The president's been clear that he wants to address the trade imbalances and the unfair practices.
Meanwhile, the U.S. trade deficit ballooned in January to a more than nine-year high of nearly $57 billion. The U.N. envoy to the Democratic Republic of Congo, Leila Zerugi, Wednesday warned the Security Council of the risk of violence ahead of long-delayed elections in DRC.
A failure to generate confidence in the full and faithful implementation of the 31st December agreement will only serve to heighten political tension and to fuel the risks of inciting violence for political purposes.
That 2016 agreement aims to free political prisoners and ensure the rights of the opposition to have elections to pave the way for the delayed replacement of President Joseph Kabila. This is VOA News. The relentless Syrian bombardment of the rebel-held region of eastern Ghouta has been accompanied by a ground assault that, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, appears to have the objective of cutting the enclave in half. Middle East Institute scholar Zubair Iqbal said absent serious opposition, the Assad regime now has a free hand.
The government is in a dominant position. Civil war, as we knew, is basically over. And they are now moving in quickly to reassert control before the rebel forces, especially Jaish al-Islam and al-Qaeda, can regroup themselves.
Nearly 900 civilians have been killed since pro-government forces began their assault on the besieged region held by a coalition of rebel groups since 2013. At the UN Security Council, the council called for its February 24th resolution demanding a 30-day ceasefire to be fully implemented. Kara von Oostrom is council president.
The Security Council reiterated its call for implementation of Resolution 2401. And coming Monday, March the 12th, the Security Council will be briefed by the Secretary General on the implementation of Resolution 2401.
A rebel defeat in eastern Ghouta will be the opposition's biggest setback since the fall of Aleppo in late 2016. Two South Korean envoys are due in Washington Thursday to meet National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. About the 2 days of meetings this week with North Korean officials, including leader Kim Jong-un, that resulted in an agreement to a summit in April, and Pyongyang proposing nuclear freeze in talks with the U.S. Wednesday, former Ambassador Christopher Hill told Reuters he opposes any premature lifting of sanctions against Pyongyang.
My own advice would be that we should not go there, and what we should do is see whether they have an interest in putting their nuclear weapons on the bargaining table or not.
Hill cautioned the Trump administration to coordinate any talks on denuclearization with China. The 11 nations that remain in what was once called the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Regime are expected to sign the landmark agreement at a ceremony Thursday in Santiago. The TPP has been renamed the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, or CPTPP. The U.S. pulled out of the pact shortly after President Donald Trump took office. In central Nigeria, more than 20 people have died in clashes between mostly Muslim herders and predominant Christian farmers. After one of two missing herders was found dead, a group armed with machetes attacked people in a district in Benue State. The U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum Wednesday rescinded its top award to Myanmar de facto leader and Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi over her failure to stem the crackdown on Rohingya Muslims. Saudi Arabia has given its approval to Air India to overfly its airspace between New Delhi and the Israeli city Tel Aviv, ending a 70-year ban. Saudi Arabia does not recognize the Jewish state, and its decision appears to reflect a change in ties. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Ooh, yeah, mama. Africa. Welcome again to your super show, The African Beat on the Voice of America. From our studio here in Washington, D.C., I am David Van. There's going to be a lot of hot rocking sounds from across this great African continent that will be coming to you again today. But today is a very special day. It is the 8th of March. The 8th of March is very special. It is special to me because we are celebrating the women. I love to celebrate women because they're wonderful people. They are our mothers, they are our sisters, they are our daughters, they are our friends. And so you have to be careful how you handle a lady. You know, trust me, you have to be very careful. So right now, what I want you to do, if your mother is next to you, or your sister is next to you, or your wife, or your girlfriend, or your spouse, whoever is next to you, or your daughter is next to you, turn around, give her a big hug, and just let them know how much you care and how much you love them. Because it's going to be special. And so we're going to be playing music across the continent from all the wonderful ladies today. And all the songs we're going to be playing, like I said, are coming from female musicians. And we'll be talking specially to one of my colleagues here in the studio and at the Voice of America. She is Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick, and she is going to be my studio guest for today. Welcome to the African Beat, Heidi.
Hello, David. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Well, you just heard that sweet voice, huh? Maybe if you watch television, VOA TV, Straight of Africa, or Africa 54, you might have gotten a glimpse of how pretty she looks.
Thank you, David.
But right now, let's start off the show with some beautiful music, and Heidi will be coming into the show later. And we start off today from a Nigerian-American young lady who did this song. It's called Babao, and the lady's called Damalis. And right after that, we take the Fast Lane. Fast Lane is done by Zizi. Zizi is from Nigeria, too. But Zizi said, I used to be on the Fast Lane. Even when my parents talk to me, I want to leave the Fast Lane life. But, the Fast Lane sometimes becomes very slow for you. It is not all that fast, so you have to check your brakes and see how slow you can get on that fast lane. If not, you'll be crushed. So we're taking the fast lane. And right after that, Loliwe, the sound of Zahara, and this is from South Africa. But let's go back to the top right now with Baba O, the sound of Damalis. She's a Nigerian American girl. Check this one.
When I wanted to stray away. pop, I'm ready to be proper. Drop all the bullshit, be honest with my father. Say goodbye to the life I live in the fast lane. I live in the fast lane. Only brought me shame. I live in the fast lane.
By Zahara, and right before that was Fastlane by ZZ of Nigeria and Babao by Damalis. You are listening to the African Beat on the Voice of America, and I'm David Van Der here in Washington. And remember, I told you that my guest on the show today is a colleague, and you know, I just bumped into her. I said, "Can you come into the studio with me?" I said, "David, for what?" I said, "Just come. It's International Women's Day, and we're going to say something." So, Haiti is my guest in the studio. And so now, Haiti, why do we celebrate Women's Day on March 8th? The International Women's Day is annually celebrated on this day to celebrate women's achievement throughout history across nations. That is, across the world. So wherever they are, in the villages, on the farms, in the offices, in their cars, you know, you name it, in the hospitals, women are everywhere and they do everything. There is nothing a woman cannot do. And so that is why we celebrate these wonderful women. And so what's the point? What's the point here? Why do we do that? Why do we celebrate these women across the world? Because it is a day when women are recognized, you know, for their achievements without regard to division, whether national, ethnic, linguistic, cultural, economic, or even their political background. We don't look at all of that. We just need to celebrate them. Yes, we just need to celebrate them. Because your mother may be on the farms, but trust me, you may be the next doctor, you may be the next president, you may be the next teacher, you may be the next broadcaster. How did that come about? It is that work that she was doing on that farm. She used to raise that money to educate you, to put you through school, to make you become the man or the woman you are today. And so women should be honored. They are our wives. They take care of our children. Can you imagine they carry that pregnancy for 9 months? Some of them even go over that. And then they stay home to take care of those kids. We have to respect them. We have to honor them. And so that's why we're here today, Heidi. So, it's International Women's Day.
Right.
Right. And you are my guest.
Thank you for having me. I was just thinking when you came to ask me earlier, I just realized that it is proof that when I asked, why David? And I realized that David Vandy doesn't have to explain why. I just came and you said Women's Day. And, all right, so I just came to talk.
Yeah, well, I'm happy about that. But, you know, today I want to take a look at a different angle. Sometimes when we talk about celebrating women, we just talk about their achievements.
Correct.
And we also, when women want to talk about Women's Day, they just talk to their fellow women.
Right.
You know, but I want to go back a little bit and look at women or girls that are being deprived in their lives of becoming the women that they're supposed to become.
Right.
Talking about like early marriages, you know, wherein these young girls are being deprived of even going to school. So throw some light on that.
Well, you know, and I've come across this in my life. I am from South Africa. I grew up in a rough neighborhood, a lot of poverty. I grew up poor. I'm always, you know, I never make two bones about the fact that I had a rough life in that my mother raised me. And also through my reporting as a journalist, I find a lot that we talk about women's achievements always in respect to, oh, women have achieved this, women have made these inroads in spite of being held back or held down by what men are doing or institutions or things that men have built. And so there's a recurring theme. We talk about child marriages. We talk about single mothers. There's a recurring theme in this, and that is men. And by that, I'm not saying that I blame men for things or that we should, because there are a lot of good men who do honor their wives, who do honor their mothers and their sisters, and who do advance. In my own career, there have been men who have been really good and opened doors for me and helped encourage me, and I appreciate that. I've also had very bad experiences. But I want to focus on the importance of bringing men into the conversation about women. When we talk about girls' education, we're teaching girls that they can do anything. Are we teaching boys, too, that girls can also do anything? And it's important, in my view, that what we teach men, that needs to be looked at as well. We cannot just tell a girl, you're great, you can achieve anything you set your heart and your mind to. But when she goes out in that world, she's going to find herself in a male-dominated world. But if we bring men into the conversation and really help young boys even understand that this is as much your fight as it is a women's fight. For men, that should be the fight too, because men have wives, they have daughters. They want to see their daughters do well one day too. They want to see their sisters do well. They want to see their mothers do well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we shouldn't exclude men from this conversation.
So men definitely should be in the conversation, because when we look at what we're talking about right now, even about early marriages and how, you right. know, we can help these young girls grow into the womanhood that right. they want to be, men are involved in their lives. They have right. fathers, they have brothers. Right. You know, and when it comes to decision making on these girls, their fathers are always there, and especially right. when it's from Africa, their fathers are always in charge, and right. it is what the father says that goes. Right. If the father says you are going to be married to that man, you can cry blood,
right?
But you go,
Right.
You know? So I am happy that you say men should be brought into the conversation. Well, how can we let men be part of this conversation? What should be their own contribution to the development of girls into the woman that they want to be?
I always think the best place to start is start with children. They're the new generation. They represent the future. Sometimes it's harder to change the minds of people who are set in their ways, but I think we can start with kids in the classroom environment, on the playground, wherever kids congregate, where they are with each other, that we need to start infusing equality there so that boys grow up also understanding women's place in this world. And that empowers girls when they see that boys are seeing them as equal. Wouldn't the world be a wonderful place if there were men and women at the table? And I think it's the same idea with diversity. I told you I am from South Africa, where we have this, our society is highly racialized. And I think we have white South Africans, we have black South Africans, we have mixed race South Africans. I am a mixture of so many different races. But how do we bring everyone together in a place where everybody feels they have something at stake, or they feel that they're part of the conversation? I think diversity is that. We're not trying to take men out of the equation and replace all men with women. Mm-hmm. I think we're trying to bring everybody together.
Bring everybody together. To be on the same plate.
To be on the same. Let's when we say, oh, there are only men at the negotiation table of our biggest wars on the continent, the idea is not just, oh, we don't want the men there. The men are important. We need the men there, but we need the women there too.
We need
women and men at the table.
All right. We'll be right back with my guest, Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick. Wow, this is getting interesting. I'm loving it. Okay, let's take some music and we'll be right back. And now we go to Sierra Leone, where we bring you the sound of Sister Gile, and she called this one Mahi, that means king. And right after that, Miriam Chemuz. Miriam Lulu Chemuz is from East Africa. And she says, I'm from Kenya, I'm from Tanzania, I'm from... So we just call her the only East African musician. She's doing this song called Malaika. And right after that, the young Rachel M from Uganda comes in with Palam Palam Pa. This is hot. This girl, the ghetto kids are just going places. And now let's go back to Gile from Sierra Leone in Mahi. And when we come back, we'll be talking to our guest today, Heidi. Stay tuned.
Yeah. mugulira mutyeyo munyumi gweyo Bino sinze mbikula
Welcome back. He's just listening to Mpala Mpala Mpa, the sound of Rachel M from Uganda and the Ghetto Kids. And right before that was Malaika by Miriam Luchemuz and Mahin by Gile from Sierra Leone. The African beat on the Voice of America. Remember, we're celebrating Women's Day, International Women's Day, today the 8th of March. And the theme is Time is Now. The time is now. Rural and urban activities transforming women's lives, and we're going to celebrate them. So now, you know, as Africans, let's look at women in Africa. Normally, when we were growing up, our mothers, we have very few that would go to the offices and all this stuff.
Right.
Our mothers used to, we call them housewives.
Right.
Being at home, maybe doing small trading on the side to help the man. The man would go to work and then come when they leave in the morning or at the end of the month, they put the money on the table, you know, for food and all this stuff. But women, things have changed, and
right.
Women are now taking the front line. We have the first woman president in Africa, and women are vying now for these top positions. So let's look into how women are contributing to the economic growth of Africa.
I think women have always been contributing to the economic growth of Africa. Those housewives, they've always been the silent backbone of African economies. And when I say African economies, I'm talking about all the individual economies of the countries on the continent. They've been the silent, very consistent, whether they were doing subsistence farming or whether they were in a big office or whether they were the teacher or the nurse, community leaders, whether they were the silent preachers, counselors. Think of all the roles that women have played over centuries on the African continent, and think of those who never got credit for the things that they've been doing. I don't think anyone can say today that they have not in their lives come across a woman who was doing at one point in her life something that a man had been known for doing or what men were famous for doing.
You know,
they've always been the engines of the African economy.
When you were saying that, I just saw my mother.
Right.
You know, she's passed now. May she rest in peace. But I just vision her when she used to leave us and go up to the provinces to get bags of garri, walk in the bush, in the farms, come back with food stuff loaded in trucks, and she'll be sitting on top of the truck, so dangerous, driving at night.
Right.
Coming back home, and would not sleep, wait the day she'll be coming back. We'll all be waiting, maybe about after midnight, that's when the truck would come, and we'll all jump out and go to help to bring in.
Those that women have always been playing those roles. I always, every Father's Day, I wish my mother happy Father's Day, because she was my mother and my father. And think of how, in how many households across this continent, mothers have played the roles of women and of men. So I think that it is so important to recognize that women have always been the engines of an economy, of our economies. Women have not started wars. And that is a truth that we need to come to grips with. But women can play such a vital role
in ending wars.
Because they are natural leaders. They are natural negotiators because they do it for a living every day. They don't get paid for it. And here's the other issue that I think is very important considering on Women's Day. African women have made great strides politically, in business. They cannot be denied. They, on the international scene, on the continent, women have achieved things that I don't think many decades ago many people would have imagined. But African women, they take their place on the international stage when they're called upon. They do it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't complain. They do it. And they show what they're made of. They show their mettle. My concern is that this doesn't seem to be trickling down to the ordinary woman. You know, we can have great representation in parliaments, like Rwanda's done well, South Africa's done well in that sense, that we've got great representation of women in parliaments. But what about the ordinary woman? Every achievement that women make, it almost counts for very little if it doesn't trickle down to the woman who is, like you said, your mother, was working, went out to the provinces, was working on farms and doing this hard, hard labor. Women who can't sit back one day and think about retirement. Women who can't sit back and, you know, everyone would like at the end of, close to the end of her life, to sit back and look at everything that she's been able to accumulate or accomplish for her children and, you know. But these are women who work themselves to death.
They work every day, day in, day out. They don't have time. They don't have day off. Right. They don't have holidays.
You look at the Me Too movement in the United States. You look at all these amazing things that women are accomplishing. None of that will mean much if it doesn't help the woman who is a cleaner in the office, and if it doesn't empower her.
And that woman can be molested, but she has not got the power to speak out, to fight back.
So what are any of these achievements that we as women across the world have made if it doesn't trickle down to those who have the least agency, those who have the least sense of power over their own
lives? So do you think women in that capacity, women who have achieved, in as much as they may have gone through their own struggles,
right,
but they have achieved, do you think they should also start considering looking at women that are not at that level?
Right.
You know, I was listening to Serena Williams the other day on a video when she went to give birth. She said what she went through, can you imagine if she had not gotten the insurance that she had? So she was thinking about, what about that cleaner that you talked about,
right,
that will not be able to afford that kind of insurance that Serena had?
Right. We cannot talk about, oh, we have the best doctors in the world and they're doing amazing things overseas, if a pregnant mother still has to walk for kilometers to get access to poor healthcare. And I think every woman, you know, in South Africa, we talk about Ubuntu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a sense of community. It means a sense of community. Your child is my child. My favorite definition of Ubuntu is that no matter where you go in the world, you never forget where you're from and you never forget those that you have left behind.
And you know, when you say the Ubuntu,
right,
we in Sierra Leone, we say, now one man they born, but not one the men. It's like you will be the mother of this child, but you are not the only caretaker of the child.
Correct.
Because in the it takes a village to raise a child.
And so we've got to be the village. Those of us who do have access, those of us who do have agency, those of us who do have the education, you know, we can't just think about ourselves and how great we're going to look as a representative of Africa. Or, you know, we are out there to represent that, oh, Africa has moved forward. We're no longer just this dark continent. But we've got to see our responsibility out there as not only represent, but we've got to go back and we've got to go and bring others along with us. Because what is any of this worth if we're not bringing others?
If we're not bringing others. All right, you're listening to the African Beat on the Voice of America. And today it's Women's Day, International Women's Day 2018. The time is now. Yes, it is now. And my guest is Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick. She's right here. She's my colleague at the Voice of America. No, at the English to Africa service. Yes, but today she's right here in the studio with me. And we can imagine we are on the African Beat. But, you know, we'll be right back with Heidi. Let's just take some few minutes. music, and then we'll be coming back. Let's take a trip now to Mali, where we bring in Emi Koita in Tata Sira. Beautiful tune. And right after that, Party Time by Yasmin Kadi Williams. Yasmin Kadi was born in Sierra Leone, left there during the war, went to England as a refugee, and now she's a big star in England. So that's she did this song called Party Time. But let's take Tata Sira right now with Emi Koita from Mali.
when I'm gay, I'm fit on the bunny. Even though I believe I'm an African chick, because I like skin, I ripe like cocoa. I walk hard, I conquer than I saw. I pray for we country, poverty no more. They see me in a channel for MBBC.
All right, welcome back. And you've just listened to some beautiful sounds in Party Time by Yasmin Kadi of Sierra Leone, now based in the United Kingdom, and Tata Sira by Emi Koita from Mali. The African beat on the Voice of America. Today we're talking International Women's Day, and we're playing music from women across the continent of Africa. And my guest today is Hedive Adams Fitzpatrick, and she's a woman from South Africa. Yay!
Viva, we would say.
Okay, this is something that I don't believe the African beat alone can handle. This is a discussion for another day, for another show, for
are you
other
promising
programs.
Now that I'm coming back?
Yes, you're coming back.
All right.
Because we have to take this on a different level. You know, the work that women do for us, they are our mothers, they are our wives, they are our sisters, they are our children, they are our friends. The kind of sacrifice our mothers and our wives make for us, come on, you cannot help but love these people.
Right.
You cannot help but love women. You cannot help but give them the praise where praises are due. I know sometimes you people can be very mouthy, but I tell you, that is just woman.
That's a sign of natural leadership, I think. You know, David, I come from a country where we have a very, very liberal constitution in South Africa. But that's because the country's new. But I think every country in Africa needs to, when they're looking, especially those who, like Sierra Leone too, like Liberia, countries that have overcome a lot and are at these crossroads where they can make significant change. You know, I look sometimes at the American Constitution, everything is the forefathers, this, the forefathers, that, and feel sometimes, are people trapped in all these rules and all? But I think we might. No, women, and it's almost like no one wants to veer away from any of that, God forbid. And so you constantly find ways to bring people in and include people from other countries, to kind of include people within the constraints of those rules. But I think in Africa, where there's so much change and the politics is so dynamic, there's lots of room to rewrite. We're so quick to amend our constitutions to allow someone to stay in power longer. Mm-hmm. Or we're quick to amend our constitutions for all various reasons. In South Africa, we are looking at amending the constitution to allow land expropriation. Good, those are necessary things that need to be done. But it shows that we can amend our constitutions. And we should allow universal education for girls as much as for boys. We should, you know, during apartheid in South Africa, it was illegal for a white person to not finish school. Of course, it was totally legal for the rest of us to not finish school. But it is this idea that it should be written into constitutions that it is a constitutional violation if a child is not in school.
If a child is not in school.
We have that in South Africa now. If a child is not in school, that's a violation of the constitution.
So the parents could face problems with
Right. It should be enforced for girls as much as for boys.
As for
boys. It starts laxing where it comes to girls.
You see, you made a comment about talking about the forefathers and all this.
Right.
You know, like as if the women were not there. But when you go back to Africa long, long years and they... In the early years, like even in my country, Sierra Leone, in the 1800s, we have very powerful women who rose that controlled kingdoms. Women were kings. In fact, some of them were even referred to as kings.
Right.
You know, Sierra Leone had one of the first women that sat in parliament.
Right. And so you wonder, where down the line along history, did women just disappear from our history books as well? And I think that this is a time for us to let's start looking and thinking about the history that we're writing from here on for future generations. How we write it. I refer to my country a lot, but these are things I wonder sometimes, what are children learning about other African leaders today? Because we certainly learned about European leaders. So I always wonder, what are we learning about people on the great heroes, heroines on the rest of the continent? I'm going to bet probably not much, because we need to start thinking about how we're portraying, how we're telling these stories. The continent has the greatest storytellers in the world. We are the continent of storytellers. But how are we writing the stories of today for the children of tomorrow? We really
the way
need to
we
think
write
about
the
history.
Is the way we're going to tell those stories.
Right.
If we allow somebody else to write our stories, then it's going to be distorted.
Right.
All right.
Until the hunter, what is it? Until the hunted tells the story, it will always glorify.
Always glorify. The story of the hunter. Yes. Well, like I said, there is so much to this, and right. This show alone cannot handle it.
Will you allow me to leave women and girls with one quote that really meant
yes,
a lot to
me? Yes, we'll come to that, and that is what I will allow you to close with.
Oh, I
but
can
let's,
close, okay.
Yes, yes, that's what you're going to close with. So now let's just go back to the music, and I want to bring you Noyelo Smith. This is a sound for us done by a folk singer in Sierra Leone, Fantasy Wees, the award-winning star there. And then we will climax today with Make Somebody Smile. And that is by Rita Adomoga from Ghana. But let's take it to the top right now with Noyelo Smith, the sound of Fantasy Wees from Sierra Leone. Fila fila titan fila le saba saba titan saba le nani monti mo nani bansa no 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 naya bendima wara wara sininko wara fila wara mekiri wara fila le sing sing konya bendima konana koname tumbale sa kemini desa suru.
Let you pass to me. Nah. I no say get for last to me. When you the pose like the selfie, I'm chilling with bae. Watch, make you no say you don't pass to me. You the bluff, you the hook, all the man in the loop. When you check and you slack, all the man in the book. You not safe even when you don't enter the books. They stress pan the vast and they wait for the hook. Like I chop, you chop, we none not get right. So stop the fest like it's your best, right? You open teeth, you fit in bed, right? Bio, we all are mates, right? I chop, you chop, we none not get right. So stop the fest like it's your best, right? You open teeth, you fit in bed, right? Bio, we all are mates, right?
Musu kela say no, you lost me, hey man, is it? Musu kela say no, fed me, hey man, is it?
I'm sure you've had a wonderful, wonderful time with me with all these wonderful songs here. And my guest is Heidi, and I am such a lucky guy to have you on the show today.
Yes, you are, David.
I know. And, you know, I am enjoying every bit of it. What is going to be your final word? It's International Women's Day.
Well, I want to say two things quickly, very quickly.
Go ahead.
First thing that we didn't talk much about, but that bears reminding, I think in the field of music, women made such inroads and really just blasted open a path for so many. I think that's one of the best examples where women have really shown their mettle. Was in, and I've seen so much bravery on the part of women, especially in Africa. African women in music. Think about during the apartheid years, Miriam Makeba, Yvonne Chaka.
You cannot write the history of music without mentioning the name Miriam Makeba.
And the fearlessness. It's the fearlessness with which those women did what they did. They wouldn't take no for an answer. And they used their craft, their talent, and they used it so much. What do they say? They believed in it. And in the end, they believed in it so much that everybody else had no choice but to believe it. So that I just want to say is one thing that we should never forget. And second, you know, this is a quote. I don't know if it's attributed to anyone important, but it meant so much to me. And I want to leave every woman and girl with this, is that take your place at the table and know what you bring to the table, and don't be afraid to eat alone.
Take your place at the table and know what you bring to the table, and
don't be afraid to eat alone.
Wow. All right, that's where we're going to end it today. So I want to thank my guest very much, Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick, for this wonderful, wonderful time right here on the African Beat. But like I promised, this is a discussion for another day, and I will definitely bring her back. Don't tell her I said so. I will definitely bring her back. But I want to thank you for accepting us in your homes today, in your cars on the streets, wherever you are, listening to the African Beat on the Voice of America. Remember, we're celebrating International Women's Day today, and all the songs today were built by wonderful women from Africa. And so now you've just listened to Make Somebody Smile with Rita Adomoga and No You Lost Me by Fantasy Wings. Till then, I'm David Vandy here in Washington saying bye-bye.
Please smile, please smile, please smile, please smile, please smile, please smile.
Come on and let us make somebody smile.